for the New Testament Aleph. So we begin by the two dots, in which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mentioned that there were 24 places in which Beis Din excommunicated a person because of kavod harav, or lack of respect. And all of them are found in the Mishnah. Right? So let's we saw this already, let's go through this again. Just to remember Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, b'chavdal mikomos Beis Din menad al kavod harav. So 24 places excommunicated. Bikulam shenidim in Mishnah Seder. They can only be found in various Mishnayos throughout Shas. So Amrule Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar turned to Rishon Levi and asked, Hecha, where are these 24 places? So Amrule said, I'm not telling you, Lachi, Tishka, so go out and try to find it. We're reviewing what we ended off last week. Nafak, Dach, V'yashkach, Plus. So he went out and he found Plus. Only three. Three situations, and here were the three. Hamazalzal Natilas Yadayim, we'll discuss what that means. Disgraces the washing of the hands. Masaper Acher Mitasan Shel Tamid Chachamim, who speaks after the bed of the Talmud Chacham. V'Hamigin Steintu Klapi Mayel, someone who spoke ill toward Hashem. So those are the only three. And then, of course, after we establish what these three are, then we're going to end up hopefully hearing the other 21. Okay, so let's go through these three where kavod harav was compromised. So the first that is brought down is Masaper Akram Mitasan Shel Talmid Chacham.
The first one was Mezazel Mitas Yadayim.
Correct. But for some reason, the way that it's described is not in that order.
Okay.
You're right. It's another Mefarshim asked that question. I don't recall a very great answer why it's not written in the same order. Okay, and I think it has something to do with where the Mishnayos are found. Okay. Anyway, so the first one that is brought down is the one who spoke ill about the Talmud Chacham. My, what is the situation? It's not, we learned in the Mishnah idios. It says, Hu hoy omer in mashkin lo es hagiores lo es hamashachreres. So he brought down in Rashi that the Pasuk says, B'nei Yisrael. There's another Gemara there, good. Which excludes only someone who was born a Jew, excluding someone who was an Asian, the wife of a ger, or from a servant.
Talking about
Sotah. We're talking about Sotah. They will not drink May Sotah. Chachamim Oymrim Mash. Chachamim say no. They even these women, let's say Gioras, focus on that. The convert, she will still drink May Sotah if she is brought to the Beis Hamikdash because she secluded herself from another man. B'yomru lo masa b'kerkamas shivcha m'shichreres v'shalayim. There's a woman, possibly this was her name, as Rashi says, or possibly it says kach shema, or shem mikoma, right, name of her place, interesting little town. So she happened to be a freed servant in the vicinity of Yerushalayim. V'ashku v'shemayim v'abtalion, and shemayim v'abtalion paskin, that she should drink from the mesot. Okay. So that's fine, probably because they paskin like the opinion of the Chachamim, which in fact you would probably think you should, because they go after the majority opinion. But Omer Lehem, and even though that's what the Chachamim said, that is not what Akavya ben Mahalil said, and he was very upset that they paskin that they should drink, and therefore he said, Dugma Hashko. It's like them, and therefore he had that her drink. In other words, as Rashi said, Al Shahayu Daimim Lehem Haim Hashko. Since you are similar to them, to her, that's why you allowed her to drink. Shayu Shemai Vatalim Ibn Ibonim Shal Sancheir.
Right, which was on Sanhedrin.
Right. Sanhedrin, right. Bring it also, I guess, more getting.
Yeah, but we learned
this. Well, we learned this on
the internet. But this statement made by this Rabbi Lazar.
This one was over there. Well, it was over in the table.
Yeah.
Is almost the movement of Vaza Chachamim in public.
Which statement?
That you.
That they're Gabriel.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So that he was. Which is.
So he should be punished.
Right. Oh, and more, not only that,
more,
that's what we're
more important. They were like the Nasi Nizam, Mori B'Machos also. They were the leaders of, at that time, Shmaya Tartala, the Nasi and the
Abbasid.
So it's like, you know, they were the leaders, Mori B'Machos almost.
So it was not the right thing to say.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's a lot of
vinyanim. Right, they did a lot of things wrong. So, well, because of this, because they were your testament of, the reason, this is one of the situations where you clearly find to a person who compromises and is not respectful. Kabbalah Rav, v'naduhu, therefore he was put into cherem, into excommunication. Amazement, but that's how he died. He died as a person who was excommunicated, and the Sokul based in as Arono, which is the din, that a person dies in excommunication at the based in to acknowledge the chiluk between him and anyone else, that they will stone his Aron. I don't know exactly to what capacity that, what that means exactly, but nonetheless, this was the first example. So again, the way that Rashi interpreted it, we saw Tosos as well. So we might as well see it again. That Rashi, Tosos says like this, Dung Hashko, Parish Rashi, Lefisha Hoysa, Gioras Kimosum, Shahoyu Gerim. What does it mean? That what he was saying, Kami ben Mahalo was saying, that just because you two are converts and you want him to not feel like second class citizens, so he allowed her to drink like any other Jewish girl, and therefore that's the reason why he did it, just because of yourself. You had ulterior motives, you wanted to feel as though you were just, you know, like any old, like a regular Jew that you were not, should not be extinct, excluded. The Chen Mashmir Yishalmi says Taisus, but then it says, the Orech Pirish Dugma Hashko Mitzvah. That is, if you recall, this is how we ended off last week, was that what they did was they really felt, Shemai Natalia felt that she should not drink, because after all, they paskin maybe that they should not drink. So what did they do? They gave her a drink.
Colored water.
And what was the purpose of giving the colored water?
Maimar.
Was to cause, it wasn't the Meimarim, it wasn't the bitter waters. Right, so Abu Lohayimarim Mamish, Lomachu Atayra, they didn't actually erase Hashem's name, which is part of the process. Right. El Yirosa, the purpose was to cause fear.
And maybe there's another reason also, you know, because she was holding herself as a Jew, and if they would see nothing would happen, other people would see Marisai, and that it's okay that she did what she did, and nothing's going to happen to her. They say, well, nothing happened to her,
right?
And she's Jewish, you know, maybe everybody may not know that she's, you know, a freed woman or what have you. They may get the wrong idea. So this, we're putting on this whole charade with colored water. People would think, oh, you see, that nobody's free for absolved from this thing, and that's why you have to do it.
No, but
that's the why they did it.
Yes.
Yeah, but if she drank the colored water, and people knew that she was a chote, and nothing happened to her, then it all became a chote.
No, we don't know. But the whole thing of sotas, you don't know. The husband suspects her. We don't know. That's if we knew, then she for sure she'd be chayav misa or whatever.
So if some other women who can't be edim knew about it and didn't say anything.
But that's not the idea of sota, unless I'm wrong.
It could be that that's part of the reason why Kavi ben Mahalil was upset at what they did, is because of that possibility that people, you're trying to cause her to be afraid, and cause people to be afraid. Maybe the opposite will happen. Maybe everyone knew that she did something wrong, and yet it doesn't do anything. So what's the big deal? So everyone could sin. No one's going to get punished anyway.
Nobody knows the proof, the truth.
Right.
So that's
that might have been
the Kaddish Baruch was telling us. So right. I said, okay, she was innocent, you know, whatever.
No, you're saying the way, the mindset of Shemai Naphtali.
Right.
But there's reason to maybe think, understand why Kavi ben Mahalil felt that they shouldn't have done so. So for that reason, Kavi ben Mahalil spoke about against them, but the problem is that he spoke very harshly to the point that he showed a lack of respect, and therefore he was
punished.
He didn't
speak properly. It was a matter of, if you discussed it as a
mensch,
as just saying, listen, this is the possibilities,
right,
let's discuss this,
right,
rather than just, it was just more of his approach.
Yeah, right. That which is the lasha, he's a mezalzel.
Mocking.
Well, here's this is the example. I'm a saper achem itosin shel tamid chacham.
Strange lasha.
Right. Well, because mitasan couldn't, we saw that lashon above, but it was talking about someone who was already
died.
Which, it's possible.
Why somebody dies, they don't.
You see what he did? They didn't have enough chutzpah to attack him while they were alive. So then
right, that's possible.
But it's very bad to attack him while he's dead. You know why?
You can't fight back.
You can't fight back. So it's really a terrible thing.
Yeah. So that's the lashon that we saw. The last thin lines is kol masaper after mikasan shulchan chacham. So it's the same lashon. It doesn't say, as it says on the third line in the top, kol masaper afri hames. As we said, that when we deal with tzaddikim and talmid chachamim, we don't refer to them as mase. We don't refer to them as dead, because they have life. There's life, not physically, but they have what to contribute and to.
Well, the Torah is ongoing. Hopefully, what they thought they talmid.
Right. So that. So they themselves have attached themselves to eternality. Right.
They're buried in Bishchalav, which is in the
why is it that we only deal with Tamidei Chachamim? They're making a statement that only if you do this to a Tamid Chacham are you going to be in Gehenna. What happens if you embarrass somebody?
An ordinary guy.
A regular guy.
Someone who's died? Or is alive?
Someone who's passed.
Okay, so on that, if we look on the top, the third line on the top over here, Kol Masaper Achar Hames, Kiel Masaper Achar Yaevan. It's like you're talking to about a stone, and we saw there's two explanations. Ikidamri Dilo Yada, they don't know, or Ikidamri Dien Dilo Ipchus Lahu, they could care less.
And if it's a good time to Chacham,
it's not just the Talmud, the person, it's what they represent.
Cover the Torah.
And that's something which lives, that continues.
So let's say you had somebody who was a teacher, and he had a Shem Tov.
Yes.
And certain things that he did lived on. Now we're not talking about Talmud Chacham. Here they're separating a distinct group of people.
Right.
Rather than somebody.
A Rebbe is like a father. A Rebbe, you're not necessarily Talmud Chacham. None of your father is Talmud Chacham.
I don't understand, maybe we need a definition of terms.
Well, it's a good point, because on the previous Amud, on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the third line from the bottom, it says, Ki Achaim Yodim Shiemusu El Tzadikim Shibimisasa Nikru Chaim. It doesn't say Talmid Chachamim Shibimisasa Nikru Chaim. It says Tzadikim. So there's a question exactly what's the difference between a Tzadik. Is a Tzadik a Talmid Chacham? Or are they different? Can you be a Talmid Chacham and not necessarily be a tzaddik?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We've seen many of them.
We had cases like
that. Right.
But so what's the difference between these two languages? The first one is that if you're a tzaddik, then you're considered to be alive. Okay, but if you're just a Talmud Chacham, you're not considered alive, but nonetheless you're not able to speak about such a person because of the Torah which they represent.
Even after death.
I'm talking about after their death, right? After their death, it doesn't say that you're a tzaddik. It says a talmud chacham, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Gemara says. Kol masaper acher mitasan shel talmid chachamim. So you're not allowed to speak ill about a talmud chacham, even a talmud chacham. But it doesn't say a talmud chacham is chayim. A talmud chacham is not alive. Tzaddik is. So tzaddik is clearly a level above. So the question is, can you be a tzaddik and not be a Talmud Chacham?
Absolutely, yes.
So, that's... But clearly a tzaddik is... You'd rather be a tzaddik than a Talmud Chacham. If you could only be one of the two. Okay. Alright. Okay, so let's move on. That was case number one. So we have one down, 23 to go.
Alright.
Okay, let's see the second one. Someone who's mazalzel washing their hands. Okay?
Mazalzel means what?
He doesn't do it.
We'll have to see what this case is. Doesn't seem like a a lack of kavod harav, since he didn't wash your hands. So, Maggie, what is this case? The Tanan. So we went to the Mishnah. It says like this: Amar Yehuda. Yehuda says, going back to the story that we just had, Chas v'shalom, Shekavi ben Mahalel Nisnaga. You've got the wrong guy. You cannot possibly say it was a Kavi ben Mahalel was the person who was excommunicated. Shein Zarin Nelis al Kol Adam Yisrael b'Chokhma v'Tahara b'Yiras Chet k'Kavi ben Mahalel. Now, when it came time that the Bnei Yisrael would enter into the Azara, and they would close the gates, it was packed. It was jam-packed. Thousands upon thousands of people. And all the people that went, obviously, into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, obviously they were good people. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have gone there to begin with. And if you would look around of all those big tzaddikim, you would never find a person greater in Chachma, wisdom, Tahara, purity, and Yerschei. And Akavi ben Mahalo. So to say that Akavi ben Mahalo would have spoken this way, so negatively, about Shemaya Natalia is impossible to say. Elas mi nadu, who in fact was the one who was excommunicated, is Elazar ben Chanoch. It was Elazar ben Chanoch. What? So therefore, this is really, according to this case, it's possible that it really is not even, the first case may not even have happened, or at least it wasn't the same person, it was not the person we mentioned before. What was Rabbi Elazar ben Chanoch? Shepik pek min atilas yadayim. He was doubtful in some of the halachos of the atilas yadayim. And does Rashi help me out over here at all? Does it say anything? So if you look at Rashi, right, Elazar ben Chanoch. So you translate shepik pek is. So you're doubt like you're mafakpig, I'm not sure, this. Zilzil, says Rashi, so there was disgraced it, made it as cheapened. Haynanamil covered around, shabar al piha, goizrim al hayadayim. So there was some type of sack in some particular situation where a person was supposed to wash their hands. And for some reason, he said, that's not so important. Don't worry about that sock. It's not something which you have to do. Don't listen to that gezerah. So because he acted, so it wasn't just the fact that he just said he didn't wash his hands. But the idea was that he was over on that which was gozer. There were people that said you're supposed to do this. And he acted like what they said meant nothing. So it was a lack of respect. Not just that he didn't do it, but the fact that he just ignored it as though it was not important. Ukshemes shalchu beistin, says the Gemara, v'anichu evin gedoyel al harama. So he died. It was Elazar ben Chanoch that died, and they placed the beistin did an evin, a stone, on his arum. V'malcha shekol hamiznadu v'meis v'nidoy beistin sokin es harama. Anyone who dies, that's what will happen. That's what the basement does to the arm. Okay.
So you get two things here, right?
Apparently, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it was the same guy that maybe spoke ill about Shemaya Naftalio, as well as this story. Or you can say that's maybe how to read it. It's possible you can read it as the whole story above really never happened. And if you're trying to think of a case of a person who showed a lack of kavod harav, it's this one because of this story. So it's not so clear. But it's possible that that was the second case, and therefore all we have are 22 left. Okay? This third out of 24 cases is probably certainly the most famous. I guess Daito Klapi Milo, a person who spoke in a chutzpah with brazenness to Hashem, Klapi Milo. Mahi, what is this? So in this, Ditnan, we learned in a mission, you can see on the asterisk brings you to the side where the Mesirsa Shas tells you it's a Gemara in Tainus. And what happened in the Gemara in Tainus? So the Mishnah says over there like this, Shalachu ben Shimon ben Shatach. Now Shimon ben Shatach sent some type of a message to a person, Lechoni Hamaygel, Choni the circle maker. And this, the story that we know is the story we're talking about. And because he said that I'm not going to leave this circle until you allow it to rain, it has to be Geshem Shel Bracha, not just a couple drops, not pouring rain, which is not good for the crops. So that was, he spoke in a negative way. He's a very pushy way. And therefore, Shimon Shetach said to Choni Amad, "Saracha lisnados." The truth is, I should have to put you into Cheir. Vilmoli Choni Ata Gezrani Lechanido. If it wasn't for the fact that you were the great Choni Amagel, that's precisely what I would do. What can I do? Shatom is chatad ne'amakoyim, because you, so to speak, sin in front of Hashem. V'yosalach with soincha. And nonetheless, Hashem does your will. Keben shemischatelet ne'aviv v'yosalach with sona. Just as a child who doesn't deserve and is chutzvedik to the father, but nonetheless the father, for some reason, will gives to the son.
What was his chet?
Well,
what is wrong?
He was
demanded that they should drain.
Let's see how Rashi translates it. Sarachata was not this. Why should he put the chair? Mofi shetriach lifnei hamakom al esek hashem, that you were matriach Hashem, like tircha tzibur, tircha Hashem. So that's how it's interpreted. That. I'm not sure how to translate the word tircha, and he did more than Hashem was really going to do or should have done. But he kept pushing and pushing, so Hashem did it, which was something which he shouldn't have done. And it says the Gemara, "Belecha kosav Omer." It's questionable why that's so bad.
I didn't know Hashem could be pushed around by him.
Apparently so. I mean, we find that by Moshe as well, right? Like Neskanam, he said, "Stop being mispalel." Because he could have kept pushing Hashem, he would have answered him. V'lecha kosav Omer yismach avicha v'imecha avasogila techa. So we learn from this pasuk this idea of Choni Amagel was likened to a child, and the father rejoiced over the actions of the child. And therefore, even though this is in fact, he was not put into Cheirum, but if it wasn't for him, if it was any other guy, he would have been put to Cheirum. So, since we're trying our very best to find 24 cases, let's make that case number 3. So, that's great. The problem is, when he was presented, in the beginning, when Rabbi Shimon Levi said there was 24 places, Rabbi Lazar felt that there was only 3. He couldn't find any more than 3. So, and I remember when the very first time I was learning this Gemara, I was looking, as my Rebbe was teaching it, I was looking where the two dots were. It was a completely different sugi. I'm like, how on earth is this, like, 5 lines got 21 more stories? So, the answer will, of course, be, there won't be. The Sulekas, the Gemara says, what do you mean? There's no more? You're telling me there's only these 3 and not more? How could he say there's 24 when this guy only came up with 3? I'll tell you there are more, but Iko, there are. The Tanur of Yosef, to this Ish Roimi, to this Ish Roimi, Hinhig es B'nei Roimi L'achilon Gediem Mikos B'leil Psoch, that he instituted that the people in Rome, that they should eat their meat, which makosin, as Rashi says, saluyim, kishim shleiman, that they would have a whole animal, and it would be tzali, it would be roasted, okay? And as Rashi says, v'karvehim sabibotan b'shvud, it was put through a spit, and it was done b'leib sochem, as a, obviously, as a zecher of some sort, zecher the carbon pesach. The problem, as Shimon Shetach is about to point out, is that some people, even Mizman Azer, machbid not to eat roasted meat on Pesach night because of the issue. It looks too much like the carbon Pesach. So this guy, right, that's what he's going to say. So, on the surface, it sounds like he's reenacting and this, but the truth is, maybe he shouldn't be doing so. And that's what Shimon Shetach says right here. Sholach le Shimon Shetach, ilmole tudus ata. For Shimon Shetach seemingly always wants to put people to Cheirum, but unfortunately he's messing around with these great guys. If it wasn't for the fact that you're the great tudus, which no one's ever heard of, because Rani Alecha Nidoi, I would have also put you into Cheirum. Shatam Achal Es Yisrael Kadosh Kodeshim B'chutz, as you mentioned. So, because it gives the appearance that people are eating kachin
outside
of, right, which of course you're not allowed to. He's not doing it, but the problem is that it gives the appearance that that's what they're doing.
Well, wait a second.
Our science, people would think they ate
the Jewish life. Yes, Mitzrayim, you ate, they had a carbon pesach, and they weren't in Jewish life.
That was before Torah.
It was also, they were told to do it.
It was on Rosh Hashanah. It was number one on Rosh Hashanah. Number two was Chutz, it was before they came, they had the Torah. Before they ever got to Jewish life.
Still giving the mitzvah to the pesach.
It was a different mitzvah. The first mitzvah was different than all the other ones. There's a lot of different things that they did that
they
first
added,
one.
They added the tchum of the mission.
Apparently a fourth. So out of the 24, looks like we got number four. The problem is that if we remember the very top by the two dots, he said, Rabbi Shimon Levi said, "V'choftal m'kavos beisim menad al kavod rab v'kulon shenidam m'mishnasenim." They're all found in a Mishnah. So this sounds like a great proof. However, says the Gemara, b'mishnasenu kamrina. We said that the 24 places are going to be found in Mishnah. What about Brisa? It's a Brisa. So even though Brisa is, of course, Brisa, the Tosefta, also in the same era as this, it was at the same time where the Tanoim wrote and codified the Mishnah, but nonetheless, it says Mishnah Seinu. It's not a Mishnah. And therefore, that's not one of the 24. It is one of 24, but it's not one of the 24 that apparently we should maybe pointed out, because he said, "Kulan Shenidim Mishnah Seinu." So therefore, we have to find 21 more cases where we'll find Elekta Kavarab. So the Gemara asked him, "Is the sin in late? You want to tell me? Okay, you want to say it has to be dark in the Mishnah, but I'll tell you a case where there is another Mishnah. Ha'iko, ha'itznad. We learned in the Mishnah, very famous Gemara, not this, but the whole story. Titznad. We learned chulios that they cut rings. V'nasan chol ben chulil chulian. They placed sand or some type of a cement" between each of these rings. So this is referring to an oven, which we'll see in a second in Rashi. Rebbe Eliezer, Mataher, Chachomim, Mitamen. So we have a Machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer, and the Chachomim, whether or not this oven is Tamen. So if you look in Rashi, Chachot Chulios, which is referring to a Tanish of Cheres, it's talking about an oven which is made out of earthenware, of Cheres, Shu Asik Kli, U'metaltel, it's a movable object, but chilas b'riyaso min hatit, that it was initially made with this cement, u'mesarfo b'kivshon kishar kaderos, says like this, v'im nitma, what happens if this oven becomes tamei? Hatzricho kosov netitza, because it's made out of cheres, can you kash, what can you do? Can you kasher a piece of earthenware? Right, because it absorbs whatever was in, and you're not able to for it to expel that which was in it. Therefore, it needs to be destroyed. However, im nitzvu b'inyan zeh. What if you destroy it in the following way? Shechat chusav v'saviv kechulio savagulos. That you make round rings, which are circular. The chaz of the chibru batit shalchol. Bein chulio chulio. In between each of these rings, you place some sand, or as translated also, some type of cement. Rabbi Elazar Mataher Oilmus. Rabbi Elazar says that oven is always Tahar. She'enu Oud Kikliheres. Because it's not like a regular earthenware vessel. Because Shalom Nisrach Bekishon Kachamim Matam. Rabbi Elazar holds that because you have this cement or this sand separating each of these rings, therefore it's not your typical Kliheres. And therefore, because it's not this vessel, therefore he says it's Tahar. Chachamim say no, it doesn't make a difference, it's tummy. Okay. Vizahu says the Gemara Tanur Shel Achnoi. This is considered to be the Tanur Shel Achnoi, this oven of snakes. My Achnoi, why is it called this name? So Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Malamid Shekufuhu Halachos Kikani Zeh. But Tamuhu. So we see that because they surrounded this particular oven with so many halachos, just like a snake wraps itself around its prey, and made it, according to the opinion of Chachamim, Tameh. V'tanyan, we learned in the Gemara, Osa Hayom, on that day, Hevi Kol Taharo Shetihar Rabbi Elezer V'sarfu Lefanov. They took all the ovens that Rabbi Elezer Paskin were Tahar, even though the Chachamim said it was Tameh, and they burnt it right in front of his face. Well, Saif, at the end, Baruchu. At the end, they gave him a blessing, which of course is a euphemism. It really means they
put him into chayyim.
Right, right. Now, this Gemara, the point of this maybe doesn't sound very familiar, but this is the Gemara which Rabbi Lezer constantly brought brayas. He tried to bring different proofs to show that he, in fact, the halacha is like him. And he said, if I'm correct, this tree should uproot itself, and it did. And he said, can't even rayim in a chrov. And he said, the water will go in a different direction than it did. The walls bent. And he said, a baskel will come. And they said, a shemayim Hashem. But we paskin achri rabu mahatos. We paskin that we go after the majority opinion, and therefore. But he was pushing so much. That's what that the Gemara over there was talking about. And therefore, because that he was put the chair. So, therefore, that's a proof. Because there was a Mishnah which was talking about this particular oven. And that Mishnah brought down this machlokas. Okay. So that's case number four then, in a Mishnah. So it says, no. Afil hochi, duy mastisin lotnan. The actual mentioning of the excommunication was not mentioned in the Mishnah. It's only brought down later on in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about that whole story, right? The whole story, and then ultimately he is excommunicated. So it's true that the Mishnah is the primary source which started all this, but nonetheless, the actual Cherem, we don't find anywhere mentioned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer was placed into Cherem. Elot, therefore the Gemara asks, it's okay, B'chavdal M'kobos Hecha, Mishkachasla, Rabbi Yeshua Levi, where do we find 24 cases? There are not 24 cases. So in this, where it says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Madama Milsa Milsa, Rabbi Elazar, well, Madama Milsa Milsa. The question is, are you Madama Milsa Milsa? Do you compare one to the next or not? Says Rashi toward the very bottom, Madama Milsa Milsa, Kol Maknum Shirom Masnisin. Anytime you find in a Mishnah, Shenechlach Hayochid Al Harabim, Machlokas Gedolah. You see a huge dispute, and you have the Yochid that's going against a huge, very vast, large majority. O Echad Min HaChachamim, Shemadaber Koshik, Keneged Gadol Himenu, or any Mishnah, where you find a Chacham that's speaking very harshly against someone who is greater than he. Omer, on this we say, Roy Hoya Kanu Nidu, this person is befitting to go to Cherem. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, there are 24 places, it doesn't really mean there are 24 places that they're actually from the Cherem, but 24 places that we find that the Chachamim were not spoken to as they should have, that a person lost themselves and did not show the respect that they deserved. Instead of that, Gemara. Okay. Questions?
Where was Rabbi Elazar's rationale of saying that oven that he contrived was kosher? Does he have to have a reason?
Yeah. Well, apparently, the whole issue of it being tameh is because you can't fix this klicheres, but because he was somehow able to
separate
them, so therefore it lost its name of being a vessel.
It still absorbed it.
I'm not very
good. It was all charis. In other words, if it was all charis, then you have to break it.
If any clay has got contact with something that's not kosher, even though that you may have clay metal, you can't kosher that.
So
the clay absorbs it.
So this particular situation, maybe I shouldn't have given that example, because it wasn't necessarily the thing became treif, but some, let's say it came in contact with a mace, so it became tameh.
Uh-huh.
Became tameh. Doesn't mean that there's tuma absorbed, because tuma is something which in itself is ruchnias. Uh-huh. So that's a way to remove potentially this tum from it, because it no longer has a shame keli, it's no longer considered a klicheres. So, but you'd be right, if it's in there, it's in there. You know, you can do whatever you want, it's not going to change anything. But apparently that's what it's referring to, right? Tumma, mamish tumma is we're familiar with, or not familiar with. Okay. All right, let's continue. Now you say hamita of the chalofehen. So this goes back to our first Mishnah, which we had on Zayin Midbeis, that was telling us that the people that are engaged in the burial are pater from the mitzvos. And one, we said those who are noisei hamita, the ones who carry and chalofehen, those who switch off. So it was not just one. Right, so second shift, the chalofei, and the third shift. And then the Mishnah distinguished between lifnei hamita and le'achar hamita, which the way Rashi explained...
After they did their function of passing the Aron on, they should be the chayav then to say Shema.
Right. So it depends. So the Mishnah said like this: as shalifnei hamita, so which meant that you have
before they were going to do their function,
and you are needed sarach behen, then paturin. Then in that case you're pater. However, if you're not needed, it doesn't mention it. Then it says v'eshalach hamita sarach behen chayavin. It says people that were used already, you did it already, and they may need to use me needed again, still your chayv in the Shema. But it says Eilei Patur Min Tefila. Everyone is going to be potter from the Shema Esrei, which is lengthier. So let's see the Gemara. Tanu Rabban, Ein Moitzin Es Amei Samach Kriya Shema. So, and because of that, that line, actually, we asked the Shaila of the whole Mishnah, doesn't make any sense, because if it's true, Ein Moitzin Es Amei Samach Kriya Shema, so then what's this whole thing? You're potter from this, you're potter from that, the Chalofehem, what do you mean? Forget about, you're not an Onion, we're not talking about people who are in the Velos, the people that attended the service, and they're the pallbearers, so if it was not B'shas, it was not Samach Kriya Shema, then you already said it, right? So, and therefore we had to explain that the Mishnah was talking about maybe the Erev Shabbos, the different reasons why this rule doesn't apply. But continues the Gemara, v'mischilu ein mafsikin, which is another explanation. Maybe they weren't supposed to, l'chatchila, you should not have the service b'shas Kriya Shema, but if you already begin, we're not going to stop the service and be lack of covered a mace to do such a thing. Okay. And if we look in Rashi, samach Kriya Shema, second last line, l'fi, shemavatlin min kriya. So it's true that you're potter, but you're only potter once this process begins. So why would we put yourself in a situation that you're going to be potter? It's better not to do it unless you already started, then we're not going to make you stop. So in this Gemara asked, Eini, Baha Rabbi Yosef, Avku, Samach Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yosef, when he was nifter, they did take his remains out, Samach Kriya Shema. So how could you tell me that we don't do so? So where it says, Adam Choshev, Shani. When it comes to an Adam Choshev, then we make exceptions. And we're not going to be mocked about Samach Kriya Shema or not.
Why?
What difference does it make?
In other words,
you should say it anyway, right? Probably, and I'm not positive about this. So when the Gemara said that im hischilu ein masikin, if you already began, then you don't stop. Why don't you stop? It's a lack of covenant of mace.
Also, osekum misopater min mitzvah.
Okay, that's true. That's true also. But let's say it's because it's a lack of covenant of mace as well, which is you were saying is absolutely the case. Now, when it comes to delaying, we don't really want to delay. Why would you want to delay?
How much delay are we talking about?
It could be an hour. The whole davening, going to a place.
It's
Kriya
Shema. It's brachos lefaneh,
Kriya Shema. And you have to mentally prepare yourself, you know. Okay, you're right. Not a very long time.
Okay.
But nonetheless, when we're dealing with an Adam Chashev, we wouldn't want to wait at all. Because just as in the middle, if you're already in the process, it's a lack of kavod hames. So to wait maybe even for a short amount of time for an Adam Chashev is a lack of kavod.
So then I'm going to make a statement which is going to sound very bizarre. The Adam Chashev is more important than doing tefillah.
Perhaps.
Well, the burial is most of, we talk about how many things with burial. It makes mitzvah, all that. It's a very important thing.
We're talking about timing.
Fine, but we
the Gemara is making a statement that because he is an Adam Chashev, we're forgetting about the timing. That's not important, and we take care of him first. And that comes before anybody else, or anything else.
Right.
It makes no sense.
That's what the Gemara, how the Gemara concludes. Because you feel that it's undermining Hashem's glory by pushing it off?
Apply it to now. Forget, you're asking a question now that's, you know, it's a nice question, it's nice to discuss, but how do you apply it to today? It doesn't apply to us today.
If there's an Adam Chashev, let's say there's an Adam Chashev, so we have to figure
everybody out. We're not sitting here to judge, unless you're going to take a Rosh Yeshiva, let's say.
That's Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi.
A Rosh Yeshiva is one thing.
And the what?
For him, they I see they do, I've seen them delay in America, for a Rosh Yeshiva, for who's the last one from Torah Vadas. Didn't they wait an extra day so they can get people in Rav Palm? I mean, it was Rav Palm, or I don't remember who it was.
It wasn't the mayor.
Huh?
It wasn't the delay for some reason.
Right? Yeah. They made a delay.
Because of...
we're talking here, Shema is more 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a half hour. But what about when you see by a tzaddik today,
seen
a delay?
That just reinforces what I'm asking.
But for... By delaying in that situation, that shows more kavod. But in this situation, it takes away from the kavod. Everyone's already there, and the question is, should we have it? Should we say it now, or should we say it later? In addition, when it comes to an Adam Chashev, I think the idea of this whole thing is, should we inconvenience ourselves? And the answer is, we don't. It's okay. We can. We should, and it's okay to do things at a time which may not be the most convenient for the tzibur in order to show kavod for this person. And therefore, as opposed to someone else, no, you have to be, we have to find the exact time which is perfect for everyone to be comfortable. But when it comes to an Adam Chashev, where people are going to go anyway, it doesn't matter if it's, it doesn't have to be right after work, it can be at 10 or 11, whatever it is, that people are going to make their effort. Therefore, when you're dealing with an Adam Chashev, it doesn't have to be at a time which is the most convenient for people. And therefore, maybe that's what the Gemara is saying over here, Adam Chashev Shani, that even though there's some times which we generally do not want to have the Levaya, because it's inconvenience, because people want to say the Shema, people are davening, people this, when it comes to an Adam Chashev, you don't have to worry about that, because people will definitely go, regardless. Maybe. Okay. Next piece of Gemara says, "Noise hamita, shulifne hamita, shul achamita." Okay, so we discussed this already. The Mishnah said, "Lifne hamita, achamita." Lifne hamita, we're going to be more strict, or maybe however you want to interpret that, more, which we will allow you to do less. We'll be putter for more things because you have not yet performed the mitzvah of carrying the arm. Well, achar mita, we're going to be saying you have to do more things because you already performed the mitzvah. Okay. Taraban, ta'oskin behes. So you have people who are involved in a eulogy. Bizman shahames mutlif nehem, at the time in which the mace is there, nishmatin echad v'kar. People should go out one by one. And they
so
should read.
Whoever's giving the hespet gives the hespet, and the other people are not the hespet, and they should daven Shema.
Right, they, not all at once.
They take their turn. I mean, they don't have 10 people giving a hespet at the same time.
Right. But I'm saying not everyone, not all the listeners should leave, because that's also a lack of respect. So when it says echad nishmat and echad echad b'karin, means that it should be done in a quiet, so it doesn't look like a whole balagan that people are just running out to say the Shema. It doesn't, wouldn't look good. That's because the mace is mutal fala.
Okay, question. At the time of the Gemara, if someone was nifta,
yeah,
would they immediately go ahead and do the Tara and then do the burial without any time lapse at all? I mean, could explain the situation.
I mean, there was no chapels was done in the house generally.
So that was straight from the house. Someone was nifta. Yeah. They went immediately. They would do a Tara and would bury him as fast as possible.
Probably, yes. Okay.
So if that was the situation, then you could potentially see that when this whole scenario would be finished, of the Tara, you'd be coming towards the end of Zman Kriya Shema. And that's what they're really talking about.
Right.
Is in this situation where we are not, you know, having a scheduled eulogy and everything else. We're going to Nifter, Tara, burial.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And the timing comes exactly that this service is Zman Kriya Shema.
Right.
Okay? Now, what do you do in that situation? I think that may explain what we're trying to discuss here.
The Gemara before, or the Gemara before?
Yeah, the Gemara before, yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, the Gemara that said you should not take out the mace, Zman Kriya Shema, which means, because they weren't planning on it, just happened to be this is where they're up to, but they should wait. Should not do that next step.
Right.
For Talmud Chacham, they shouldn't wait. They should take care of it right away. Right. Yeah, that's probably, that is what went on in those days, for sure. So in this situation, we came to a hasbid, which also was done. As we said, one by one you would go out. But that's in the time Bizman Shameis Mutal of Neim, because you can't say the Shema when a mace right there. Ain a mace mutal of Nehan, Hain Yoshvin Vikarin, Vuhu Yoshiv Daimin. If the mace is not with Nehem, so those people who are attending this Hespid, they will sit and read the Shema, because there's no mace there, there's no longer rush. But he will sit and be quiet and be silent. And Rashi says, who is this referring to? Ha'avil, person who's an availus. He will not say the Shema because he's potter from Kriya Shema, because he's an avail. He's before Shiva, the Kfor hasn't occurred yet. Heimon de Mispalin, Vahu Oimed, Umastik Lovas Adin. You imagine, in the middle of the Hespin, it's time for the Shema, they say the Shema. It's time for the Shema, so everyone just stands up and davens. And this guy over here, the person who's an avail, he will be mastik lovas adin, or translated as siddik adin, which we generally say at the cemetery. The omer, and he says like this. Of course, the siddik adin, which today is much lengthier. Yibon halomim harbichatosu l'fanecha. There are many sins that we've done before you. V'onichratim imenu echad mini elef. You haven't paid me back even one of the thousand. Not even the smallest percentage have you paid me for the sins that I've done. I've done so many things wrong. Yiratzim of Nach Hashem Elkeinu, Shitagor Perotzoisenu, Perotzoisan Kalam Chosbeis Shol Rachamim. We should close up all the breaches and the openings of Jewish people with compassion. So that's the Tzedek HaDin that the Gemara suggests. And on this, Omer Abayi says, "Lo min boy leil inishlam emer hachi." You should never say such words. Why? After all, Diomer Rav Shimon ben Lakish, the Reish Lakish said, "V'chein tan mishmed Rav Yosi." Well, Ola, a yiftach adam piv l'sak. The person should not open up their mouth to the sak. To say such a thing, to say that I really deserve a whole lot more. Don't say you deserve a whole lot more. You're going to say it to the sakim. You may end up getting a whole lot more, and that we don't want you to have. The Yom Rav Yosef, Mikra, what pasuk supports this? That says, Yishai, Yishnemer, Kamak, Kisnoim, Hainu, we are just like, we're comparable to those Rishoyim that lived in Sodom. And Maya Hadalei Navi, what did the Navi respond to that? They said, Shimu Devar Hashem, Katsini Sodom. Listen, you Katsini Sodom, you officials, you heads of Sodom. And therefore, if you speak that way about yourself, that's how you'll be spoken to. And that's, the vort that we're familiar with, that if a person is spoken to negatively, you're saying you're a bad person, you're a Rasha. You're going to think you're a Rasha. And it also explains the Maamar Chazal, that the Baal Shem Tov says that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, it harms three people. It harms the person who you speak about, the person who's saying it, the person who's listening. So the Shaila is, I can understand the one who's saying it, you're saying Lashon Hara. I can know the person who's hearing it, you're Makam Lashon Hara. The question is, so with this third person who's in a different country you're speaking about. But the point is that when it comes to words, words have the ability to harm. And therefore, you can't erase it. And therefore, that's what he's saying here. I'll stop here.